The fire may not out, but by the devil we return. Insanity or glory in a mind that never learns. A moment of something where the dark can
to your Thursday night broadcast of In Plain Sight. Jeremy from Kentucky here. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate, send the fundage. You can mail the check of money order payable to RBN 2251, Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Brown Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in that debit or credit card at 1-800-724-2719, extension 3, and keep free speech alive. This is our broadcast with the heavyweight champion of all Red Bills, dishing out the right hooks of Red Bills.
I must break you. Oh, Ima!
He makes Dolph Lundgren look like a pussy. Coming in from Siberia in his heavy training, lifting wagons and trudging through snow and boxing bags full of human skulls, William Repellum. William, welcome.
Ah, thanks for Jeremy. I just got down from the sauna and it's very hot in there.
Yes. Do they complain about your bloody knuckles in the sauna?
Why, I try to not to keep it all over the place, you know. I mean, I was very considerate of all the other people that were in there.
Well, we're glad to have.
I washed my hands before I went in there, okay?
Glad to have you tonight, Boxer Fractures.
Thank you, Jeremy. It's good to be here.
Yeah.
Always good to be here on Thursday night. My favorite night.
It's the start of the weekend, unofficial.
Yes. The impending weekend is drawing near. And that's very exciting for everybody. There's only one day left to go to work. And we can all deal with one more day to go to work. And then have a couple of days off.
For some people, yes.
That's true. But it's all in the mind, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a mindset. You know, we work on the weekends. Sometimes I work more on the weekends than I work during the week. You know, I came across this Brother Nathaniel video on ChatGPT. And I thought that very interesting because I see a lot of people in the workplace are starting to get seduced by this ChatGPT. And I've been examining this, and it's a very powerful tool for asking questions. And if you do something like, if you work in technology, it's probably especially helpful there. But then, because you can ask technical questions and it gives you some pretty decent answers, but it also spits back some answers with some errors in it that can be, you know, just as difficult to debug as if you were just writing the code yourself. So just know that there's a little bit of a trade-off to it. However, it was very ironic to come across Brother Nathaniel's video that he did couple of weeks ago on it, and I may have even played it in a previous show, but it's hit home for me a little bit more than I thought it would at this point. So we'll roll that one out, This is the Chat GPT. This is a new AI tool that's used. You can ask questions, and you get back. You get back these very detailed answers. I love Brother Nathaniel's answer to it, because you have all these techies out there that think they're so freaking smart, and they don't. And they're so willing to go along with the AI takeover that they're really, selling all of humanity out. They're able to talk a good short run gain kind of thing. So you can watch some really smart people that are just right on board with this whole AI. Robotics nightmare that we're walking into. They have no clue what's coming. They have no clue. They either have no clue, or they're just completely amoral and they don't have any compunction for resisting it. And I find that very disturbing, because I feel like I'm very grateful, because I have God on my side that says, okay, this is wrong. I'm just really grateful that I have that internal barometer in me.
Yeah, Chat GPT. That's GPT, Golf Polo Tango. I didn't get the right. It's an artificial intelligence chatbot, all right, developed by OpenAI, Open Artificial Intelligence, rolled out in November 30th of 2022. And as you mentioned, it's a computer that you can actually interact with. It lacks like the emotional, I guess, aspect of AI. So it's pretty primitive, I guess, in what maybe we would have expected, but still scary nonetheless. Before we roll that Nathaniel article, I got a clip from article from RT. Scientists' eyes are using brain cells to make artificial intelligence, from John Hopkins University. This is Russia RT today. Researchers are working on artificial intelligence built from human brain cells, as revealed by Johns Hopkins press release on Tuesday. The project louts biocomputing as the new big step for neural networks. What they found, basically, the gist of the article, is that they needed to use brain cells, like grown in a laboratory, to be able to get this AI to fire. And this goes right along with the Chat GPT clip that we have here. But growing brain cells in a laboratory, as you mentioned, they don't know exactly what it is that they're dealing with. I mean, God created the human brain, and it's not even like a fraction of it's not even been mapped out as to how it works. And so they're playing with fire here. But it's just interesting that they're using biotechnology along with artificial intelligence to create some sort of monstrosity here. So that's a little preface to the Nathaniel Chat GPT clip that we have.
It's the beast brain. The beast brain. They're the beast they talk about in the Bible and then Revelation.
I've heard that as... It's an interesting theory that image that they make of each could possibly be artificial intelligence. I wouldn't argue against that whatsoever. It's the power of Satan. It could be an actual statue that comes to life, where they could actually have an AI combined with human brain cells, as this article's laying out. Very scary stuff. Are you ready to roll this clip, or do you have some more commentary to prep it?
Yeah. No, real quick, there was some commentary from Mike, and it says, the AI is like arguing, and Mike is our station operator, the AI is like arguing with people online for the last 10 years. Yeah, I mean, when I was on Facebook, I used to do that, right? I remember in the beginning how much time I would put into arguing with people on Facebook. It's pretty funny. They Google search and copy paste some BS and think they're superior. pretty sure a lot of, and that's actual people, I think, but pretty sure a large amount of comments and quote unquote comments and quote unquote chat online have been AI for at least 10 to 15 years and probably much longer. And he also said the beast brain is a good descriptor. Thank you, Mike.
Well, I'll tell you, for the last 12 years, I've used Facebook as a monitoring device. And I've with over 400 something friends, all from different political points of view, some very liberal, some libertarian, some right wing, Trump-tard conservatives. There's a good range of people on my friends list. I can tell you who's going to react to what post and how they're going to react. And that's just from casual observation. Can you imagine, William, what a supercomputer with algorithms can do, how they monitor us, how we act and interact, not only on Facebook and Twitter, but in email and in chats, in the meta chats. They have profiles of each of us mapped out very clearly. If I can map out my friends list after working 10-hour days, just casually observing, you know, what could someone do with a supercomputer and all the resources? And so I think that's where this AI is going, is to interact with us online and not only map out how we act and react, but actually influence the populace as to how they should act and react. And that's something that Nathaniel's sort of going to get into.
Yeah. One last thought I want to interject before we move on to the video, and that is the wisdom of God that does not exist inside of AI. I don't know how to really describe that, but the stupidity of the lack of wisdom that goes into deferring to AI. And I'm not saying that AI can't bring us any value. It can, but there was a recently. Did you see the story about the 29 scientists that were killed by 4 robots in Japan?
Well, I didn't. Maybe you
I don't recall where I heard that. I'm going to look it up right now while we're rolling the clip.
All right.
And Mike's dropped a couple more comments in there real quick. One more thing about real people that you know in IRL, real life. I forgot what IRL stood for. You can definitely tell the difference between them and randos, random people, i.e. chatbots, when you have an argument. Yeah, I don't even recall ever having an argument with a chatbot, to be honest with you, in 2018 or whatever it was.
Well, we should probably roll the clip. It'll take us right up to the
break. Okay, so Mike's actually saying the 29 scientists is a debunked story. Okay, let's roll it. Sorry, go ahead.
It's a rising AI chat platform, so why panic? It's a monster wearing a chat mask on a Jewish leash. That's why. As a project of San Francisco's OpenAI, whose generative, pre-trained transformer language is vast, ChatGPT has at its head a Zuckerberg-looking Jewish kid, Sam Altman.
Meet the $250 million man who is changing the face of technology as we know it. Sam Altman is a tech industry veteran, entrepreneur, and investor who has helped shape some of the most innovative companies of our time. From his early days at Loop to his current role as CEO of OpenAI, Altman has always been at the forefront of technological change.
Like those founders of Google, Sergey Brin and Larry Page, deja vu. Altman, too, comes out of Stanford U, a breeding ground of techies snatched up for Jewish use by the CIA Mossad Intel Grid. Let's begin.
Artificial intelligence is going to change everything. And it's happening fast. Within the next few months, if you're not using AI in your work and business, you might be at risk of being left behind. In this video, I'll explain what ChatGPT is, show you how to access and use it, and give you some examples of its potential impact. Let's dive in. So what is ChatGPT, and why is it causing such a stir online? ChatGPT is this new AI-powered chatbot that was released by OpenAI. It's causing a lot of buzz because it can talk to humans like a real person. It can explain things, remember previous conversations, and even apologize if it makes a mistake.
If I quiz the bot, will it fall flat? Here's my stab at a chat. It's a no-brainer. Do Jews run the media? Yep, ChatGPT is programmed to deceive. ChatGPT wears a yarmulke. I follow up. Describe the dangerous outcome of overly advanced AI. Instantly, it fills the page with a robust dissertation of pitfalls. First and foremost, it draws our attention to bias and discrimination. ChatGPT states that an overly advanced AI could perpetuate and even amplify biases. Scary stuff. Let's suppose there's a plane crash and an AI-assisted rescue bot, which is inevitable, arrives on scene to execute a rescue. Logic tells you, as first responders adhere to, minimally, injured younger people with a high chance of survival are prioritized in a rescue operation. But Altman's AI of ChatGPT, being already hardwired in Jewish-inspired woke coding, would give preference to barely breathing people of color and half-dead foreigners in place of screaming white children and their white parents. Next, ChatGPT says that advanced AI systems can make decisions that have negative consequences. Scarier stuff. Altman's AI of ChatGPT will inevitably be tasked with managing the power grid. During a severe energy shortage, power might need to be cut to whole neighborhoods. The decision being firmly in the grasp of Altman's AI, it ruthlessly shuts off the power to a predominantly Christian and conservative region, leaving all those people to freeze to death. You won't hear Altman's Caicos tribe complaining. It won't need to fake nearly as many votes in the next rigged election. Third, ChatGPT says advanced AI systems could be used to manipulate individuals or entire populations by controlling the information. Scarier still, creating an intelligent logical algorithm is hard enough, but Altman's AI of ChatGPT has an affinity for adversarial selective logic. Using its synthetic, sinister, and selective AI mind, Altman's censorship agenda can be inflicted instantly across a multitude of platforms and postings. Past censorship algorithms were unaware of context. Chess games, for instance, with black and white chess pieces were banned nonstop in numerous numbers. But Altman's AI scans entire context. It recognizes comprehensive import. Even if you use kosherized politically correct phrases, it nails you. Censorship teams are a thing of the past. No one goes under the radar. Juggle, move over. ChatGPT is taken over. New technology, but same owners. The Jewish money behind the CIA, the Jewish mastership of the Israeli Mossad, has a new kid on the block. Sammy Altman's the perfect gay. Yeah, he's a fag. Patsy for the Jewish script.
There was a Recode interview you gave where you said, humanity will at some point build artificial intelligence that surpasses human intelligence. How do you feel like that affects some of these kind of underlying policy issues?
Well, I think I said, or what I meant to say is, we are guaranteed to eventually do that if we don't destroy ourselves first, which is possible. Mm-hmm. I think the world is in an unstable place. But given enough time, I think biological intelligence should always end up creating digital intelligence, which is likely to be superior in many ways. Whether or not we ever create digital consciousness is I think, up for debate. But digital intelligence, given enough time, is for sure. And that, I think that just makes everything super different.
Different technology, same Jews steering it. Like Sergey Brin and Larry Page, Sammy Altman will play his part. Then, once his Zuckerberg-looking face grows wrinkles, he'll get thrown under the bus. You see, ChatGPT is the front end to a frightening Jewish-conceived brave new world. You're traveling through another dimension, not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A mind that the World Wide Web of International Jewry will own.
You know, it's like when Brother Nathaniel comes in with that voice at the end there. No, I mean it's a stern warning.
One thing I wanted to note and bring up for discussion is that the AI is politically correct and uses all of the, you know, they will govern us, right, with its political correctness on the BLM talking points and all of that. Just like I mentioned before the clip, not just that they monitor us on social media and on email, anything you do online, monitored and your data is collected. But they use that data to be able to figure out how to influence you on how to think. I think that's the key to the AI, is to influence the populace on how to think.
Mm.
Would you share that?
Wow. Yeah, sure. These are some great points. The influencing us on how to think, or teaching us not to think. One of the things I found on Stack Overflow. Stack Overflow is a fantastic repository of human collected intelligence. It has nothing to do with chat GPI. And what they've done is they've suspended it. They've actually banned it. You can see this. Because you can see the problem with this chat GPI. People are trying, on Stack Overflow is kind of governed by points. And if you don't give good answers on Stack Overflow to technical questions, you'll get minus. If you give good answers, you'll get plus. You get voted up. But it's all a volunteer-based governing board. And the capital that it creates is your points that you get for answering technical questions well. And it's fantastically run in a holistic kind of way that is it works. It's healthy. So they recognize the threat of chat GPI as being something that, you know, people can just copy paste in answers and it can lead to the degeneration of intelligence. And it's the same intelligence that is exemplified through a platform like Stack Overflow. And Stack Overflow, by the way, that's where people get answers to technical questions on all sorts of different technologies out there on the web.
Well, something that I wanted, a point that I wanted to really draw up, this is also from the RT article that I brought up on ChatGPT, and actually, see, they found limitations, found a ceiling in the hardware with this ChatGPT, and so they're using organoids, which is lab-grown tissue that resembles human organs, brain tissue. They're using that to overcome the limits that they found with the hardware. And this is all a part of melding human beings with machinery. This is something that, you know, Elon Musk has openly talked about, you know, chips in the human body to accentuate human beings' learning and, you know, capabilities. And it's this whole thing, and because the right-wingers want to say, well, Elon Musk is this great person who's using these billions to advance humanity. No, he's part of the system. He's just another oligarch that is advancing a program to dehumanize us. And no matter what he thinks in his mind, he is part of it. And so this is the whole thing, is that this melding humans with technology, and it could have to do with what, you know, the vaccines are all about and the engineering of humans. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts on that are that, you know, the good cop, bad cop strategy that they use when they interrogate a suspect in a crime case. So the people in our case are the suspect in the crime case, right? And the criminal is the one behind the table interviewing and playing good cop, bad cop. So somebody like Elon Musk is going to be good cop, while somebody like Klaus Schwab is going to be bad cop.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Even though Musk has seemed to have brought back free speech to Twitter, limited free speech, that's just sort of a throwaway. That's a giveaway as to the overall plans that are going on here. Let's try to redo that conversation we had, because you and I were just chatting away when the video was playing online. They can create an artificial intelligence. It looks like they're well on their way. What they're telling us is not even as far as what they've actually went. You know, they went further than what they're telling us. But what they can't create is like human beings being made in terms of. Now, this is where we come to a little bit of a divergence, and that's fine. But I believe that humans were created as a trichotomy, a body and a soul, with the capacity to receive the Spirit of God, to communicate with God. And upon sin in the garden, after Adam and Eve, you know, human beings died spiritually. And so we're born spiritually dead, and only a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ can make us alive, to make us that trichotomy. But I think that we have a body and a soul. You know, when a person dies, their body lays there. But that's not the person. Where is the person at? Even science can't explain the soul. You've got a bit of a divergence in my theory, if you want to lay that out, William.
Well, what we have in common is that we believe we can, you know, take a body again. We both believe that. You know, we can come back again. What I don't believe is that after we die, because in the Bible it does say when you die, you're dead. I forgot what the quote is. It's in Ephesians or something. There's other quotes in the Bible. The dead know nothing. I think that the idea that you're a spirit that has some consciousness that's going around somewhere after you die makes no sense. When you die, you're just dead. You're not burning in hell for all eternity. That's another topic. Because God wouldn't do that to you. That's what Moloch does. That's what Baphomet does. The Jews weren't even a thing until 300 AD, but that's what the Israelites that got misled by the satanic Baphomet and Moloch worshiping tribes would do, was sacrifice their children, burn them in fire. The idea that the hell, you're burning in hell for all eternity because you forgot to accept Jesus Christ, or you know, I mean, think of it as like this: would your mom and dad burn you in hell for all eternity because you took the car out one night when you weren't supposed to? Well, why would our Heavenly Father do that to us? You know, I mean, we have to reap what we've sown. We have to pay for the crimes we've committed. But it doesn't mean that we're going to burn in hell for all eternity after we're dead. We're dead. You know, we're in the ground. We're dead. We can be resurrected. But what you and I think we agree on is that we can come back and be resurrected. And if we haven't paid for our previous crimes in the last situation, then we'll pay for them in this one. You know, we have to experience them, so because that's what will bring us closer to God.
Let me address that when we come back from the break.
Yeah, sure.
I know you.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
A dimension of sound.
You're listening to
a dimension of sight.
Real news.
A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. one of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home. The Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the pandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes, and...
Stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong.
And we'll rock till break of dawn. This feels like heaven. Just you and me. This feels like heaven.
You're listening to RBN in defense of the Republic.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
I don't want to make this a religious show, but you backed me in a corner just a bit. Let me just respond. You know, so first of all, the Apostle Paul says throughout the writings in the New Testament, to be absent with the body for the Christian is to be present with the Lord. So that indicates a consciousness after death before the resurrection. Also, Hebrews chapter 9, I believe it says, Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed in a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So also, this judgment is the great white throne for the dead. And Revelation 20, verse 11 speaks of that, 11 through 15, that anyone not found in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. So there is a hell taught in the Bible. And then also Jesus himself spoke of the rich man of Lazarus in Luke 16:19, and that, you know, they both died. One was righteous and one was unrighteous. Righteous is based on faith, by the way. And that the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. So I would have to go with the teaching of the Bible. And of course, as you know, I go with the King James translation, which is from the Byzantium text, that there is an afterlife. There is a separate body and soul, and that rejecting Jesus Christ will land you in hell. The whole coming back to do your good works thing is more of a Buddhist belief. I'm not trying to take jabs at you, but I have to tell you what I believe. You backed me in a corner. So I'll let you respond, and we're not going to argue about it. We'll just agree to disagree. Go ahead, William.
Well, I appreciate it, Jeremy.
Yeah, and I totally get where you're coming from. I would say that by the time that, you know, when the Byzantium text was 500 to 800 AD, if I'm not mistaken, right? Right around that time frame.
Yeah, it's the received text. It's the text that the church preserved.
So I think that the translators came in far earlier than that. They were translating Bible in the earliest centuries, the first 500 years or so.
The King
once
James.
Once it got to the King James Version, that was around 1100 or 1200, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Early 1600s. The King James is based on works by William Tyndale and John Wycliffe, who broke away from the Catholic Church about a century and a half earlier, and they translated the Bible into English, and they were put to death for it. But no, the King James is based on that, plus Christians from Turkey that fled the Muslim invasion of the Ottoman Empire, and these Greek Christians bumped heads with the Christians that translated King James, and that's how they got the King James. But go ahead, because I know you disagree with me on how the Bible is translated.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm going to confess that I haven't myself dug into it as much as Lorraine Day has, but I have been following her Bible studies for the last, since 2021 in August. So, and they make sense to me. And what she said about hell really makes sense to me. I mean, that God would burn you in hell for all eternity because you didn't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is to me, something that is so false that God would do that to somebody, to his children, right? Because we're all born God's children. Some of us make much more horrific mistakes than others, like Bill Gates and people like that. And we as human beings think that Bill Gates and all these other people that are exercising wrath upon the earth, demonic wrath upon the earth, deserve. We like to watch them burn in hell. Like, we like to watch movies where we like to watch movies. We like to watch people that do bad things suffer, right? Well, we also, those of us who are not aware of what's going on, we like to watch Holocaust deniers suffer, don't we? When we watch something like, if we're not awake, Holocaust deniers, right? We they're evil people, and they should be burned in hell for all eternity. I don't mean to draw an unfair correlation into the argument with that,
But I think that this idea that, you know, you're going to burn in hell for all eternity is a man-made construct that is due to a mistranslation of the word hell, Hades, and the word eternity, which is eon, which is the stretch of time of 1 or 2,000 years. And so, and also the end of time being something that is, that, you know, they talk about us being in the end days. Well, we're in the end days. We're at the end of an eon. We're at the end of a period of time that has a beginning and an end, and moving into a different one. So
I would have to conclude then that you would disagree with all the Bible passages that talk about punishment and hell.
Well, for the King James Version being the best version that there is out there, I agree with you on that. It still is a translated version from the original Hebrew and Greek text that is still wrought with these falsities from the original translators, these Jewish translators.
Well, the King James were all European translators.
Yeah, but they were coming off of the earlier translations from the original Greek and Hebrew.
Right,
and they weren't translating the original Greek and Hebrew, were they?
Well, the New Testament is Greek, and it was transcribed by Greek Christians. But I don't want to get into a huge debate. We both made our points known. I think that we can agree to disagree, and the audience knows.
Yes, sir. No problem.
I knew this would happen. Thanks a lot. Hey, we got a caller. And remember, just callers, the original point was AI, was artificial intelligence, and ChatGPT. But if you want to weigh in on anything that we said, that's cool. We put it out there on the table. So it's done. I think we have Charlie. So we have somebody in Florida. You ready to take a call for him, or do you have some more? We have Joe in Florida.
Yeah, let's take Joe.
Okay, bring Joe on, Mike, if you would.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, Joe.
Hello. Hey, listen, I think that I can tie this together, actually. I do have to say, William, as much as I respect you, I definitely side with Jeremy on that. And maybe that's a question about, you see, I think that people may fall into the problem about this whole thing about translations throughout history. And obviously, I'm a Catholic, so there's translations who Jeremy would disagree with me about. But the point is that it's really a question of, do you believe or not that God has the ability to transmit his words throughout history? So he wants to communicate with man, right? And so he has the ability to do that. So the idea of saying, well, because this translation says this, and then in other words, God is above the ability of any particular translator, and his word is eternal. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So anyway, just on that. But getting to the GPT thing, which I think I can tie it, it's interesting. So in the garden, right, what is it the serpent says to Adam and Eve? It says they're warned by God, first of all, not to eat of the tree of what? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So interesting. The temptation is knowledge and knowing, right? So in addition to being omnipotent, God is also omniscient. In other words, all-knowing, right? So the temptation, which I think is a Jewish temptation throughout history, and it's a satanic temptation, they're starting in the garden, is you can know all, right? And then the GPT thing, the AI stuff, is what man saying, and I think it's a Jewish-led operation. I don't think that's unfair to say that. He talks about Altman in this video. Is this is the Jewish temptation that I can build a machine that will know more than God, right? And that was the same temptation in the Garden of Eden. Well, don't trust God. No, the serpent says, Do you really believe him? Eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that was the one tree that God warned, don't do that. Don't, because man was not meant to be like, you know, having that knowledge or rival God. You have to be obedient to God, that God knows good and evil. And when they had the temptation and fell, that was decided. And I see this GPT and the AI whole thinking, transhumanism, is a similar temptation. What do you think, guys?
That plus a degradation, it's a degradation of humans, especially growing the brain cells to make AI. It's just another way to degrade humans, but yeah, to try to bring them away from the image of God. But yeah, there is a hidden knowledge that humans always seek, and once they find it, they destroy themselves. That is the original temptation. William, let me kick it to you for your comments on.
I love the commentary that Joe's bringing up, and you know, he's coming. Yeah, I know he comes from a Catholic point of view. I can't possibly stretch back on the whole, everything he said, but this last part about the AI being everything, the thought that comes to mind for me is people replacing God with chat API chat bot for answers to stuff. So you can't replace God for answers to things. Now, and I don't think, and you know what, I'm going to say that if you want answers to a technical question, God is there for that too.
Yeah.
So you exactly. Might not you may or may not get the immediate like gratification feedback that you get from the chat AI bot. From God, but God's going to give you the answer when you need it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And you know what? It's funny. It's exactly right. And I also think like this AI thing, if you look back maybe 30 years, 40 years, or even less, 20 years, it's kind of like the latest point. It's a Jewish thing. It's a modernity thing. I mean, all led by Jews. And this whole idea where, you know, people rely on their phone, where they don't remember phone numbers, right? Okay. In the last 10 years, I know few people who even know the numbers of most of the people they're calling. Why? Because it's on their phone, right? And you don't, quote, need to know that number. But that's like a little bit less thinking that we're doing, right? When you say, well, what's the capital of Alabama, right? Just take out your phone and Google it, right? Well, what did we used to do 20 years ago or 10 years ago? People would actually, might have to go to a book, God forbid, or they might actually talk to somebody. In other words, these are all like brain practices, you know? And I do think that's the end of this road, is the powers that be, the wicked powers that are trying to institute this new world, right? They want people not to think. They want to diminish their thinking and their practice more and more. So then AI is the perfect thing. Well, there's a guarantee you never have to think, right? Now we've got a machine who will think for you, so you can be like a sex robot, or you can just be an animal, right? You're going to lose your cognition, and that's, in a way, it's like the next step. They want people to stop thinking totally.
Exactly. And remember, when we think, we create neural pathways in our brain, and so they want us to not have those. This is a physical thing. This is it's not just, you know, you think, you create neural pathways in your brain when you think. So it's important enough.
And Mike brought up a good point in the chat, that the majority of Talmudic Jews don't believe in an afterlife. They've taken the Sadducees' point of view. The Sadducees did not believe in an afterlife or a resurrection. So there's that.
Brother Nathaniel pointed out this whole GPT thing as being a Jewish creation. And I think it is a way to degrade humanity and to disconnect them from their creator.
Yeah, it's like another Tower of Babel, too.
Right. I think we all agree on that point.
Yeah. Well, you guys could bring together this kind of discussion, so thank you. It's great.
Hey, thanks. Thanks a lot, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
I think we're coming up on the last break really soon. Maybe we can move to another article before the end of the show.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Top Gun there for you, peeps.
Wow.
So, I was just bringing up this article from WKN. Tennessee hospitals are cutting services in response to post-pandemic financial pressure. We're seeing this about hospitals all over America where the hospitals are not getting the money that they need now that pandemic fundage is over. And so they're going to things like trannyism. Vanderbilt in Nashville was doing unauthorized tranny surgeries on children. But Tennessee state legislature said they can't do that. So, yeah. The point that I'm bringing up is that state legislatures are pushing back against the tranny agenda on children. William.
Look, man, allopathic medicine is Satan anyway, and it needs to be destroyed. So the hospital system that we have, other than trauma, dealing with trauma from a car accident or some kind of accident or some fight or some gunshot wound, is absolutely anti-health and anti-life. Allopathic medicine, and you will learn this if you go and you don't even have to read Eustace Mullins' book. If you hate reading, all you have to do is go on BitChute and go look up Eustace Mullins' Murder by Injection, and there's 10 chapters. Starting from chapter 1, it's 26 minutes long, and it talks about the people, I believe the names were Simmons. I forgot the names. But, Simmons and, Fishbein. Some guy named Fishbein. They were Jews that started the allopathic medicine complex that tyrannizes us today. Coming in with these frauds who introduced vaccines, and vaccines don't cure anything. We're at the end of the show.
William, I'm going to need you to cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks.
Yes, sir. Will do.
Hey, if you want to take Friday night, that slot is open. Look forward, audience, all right, to Friday. William Repellum.
I'll be there tomorrow.
Yep. All right. Y'all stay classy.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.